Our system basically failed its most fundamental tests. It was too fragile, too vulnerable to shocks.
We're going to have to save those banks.
Save those banks.
Save those banks.
Even if we cash out the guys that took the big bonuses.
When they fail, they get a bonus. The taxpayer gets the bill.
Oh, you probably recognize that music. All week long, we are reviewing the year that marked the beginning of the financial meltdown and the recession that we continue to live through, or try to live through. Today, we're focusing on the housing market, and we have a roundtable of guests with us this morning. Robert Shiller is a professor of economics at Yale and the co-creator of the S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index. He was among the very few experts who foresaw this housing crisis. For an in-the-trenches perspective, Judge Arthur Schack of the New York State Supreme Court joins us. Every week, banks come to his court with foreclosure papers. We also welcome back Pamela Zombeck. She and her husband are struggling to hold on to their home in Salem, Massachusetts. We first heard from them in March. Welcome to all of you. And Professor Shiller, let me start with you. You're the guy who back in 2005 warned of a housing bubble. What did you see that others didn't?
Well, I think the psychology of the situation is something that is apparent to a lot of people who were participating in the market, but wasn't apparent to most economists because it's not part of their theory. Bubbles are not even in most textbooks, but that's what we had. And I've been studying behavioral economics to have a different perspective.
Judge Schack, let me go to you. Our partner, the New York Times, has reports that you've thrown out 46 of the 102 foreclosure motions that have come before you. How come?
Because the papers aren't completed in a facially sufficient manner. In other words, you know, I have the view that if you're going to take away somebody's home, that you have to present a case that will allow me to do that. So to remove someone from their house and to prove that there should be a foreclosure. And most of these cases are on default, and that's why I'm going to come back to that. You have to show me there's a mortgage, you have to show me there's a default, and you have to prove to the court that you own the mortgage at the time the case commenced. So if those things can be done, the foreclosure is granted. However, a lot of the paperwork that I find from the banks is insufficient. It's not accurate. There's sloppiness. So I believe there has to be a level playing field for homeowners as well as banks.
Judge Arthur Schack, the New York State Supreme Court, speaking to us now. And now let's go to a homeowner. Pamela Zombeck, you and your husband are really working hard to hold on to your house in Salem, Massachusetts. Tell me what's happening and how things are going for you.
Well, we waited 2 months from May, and we had applied for the Making Home Affordable modification in March. After a lot of delays and stalls and lost paperwork and going back and forth in May, we learned we did not qualify because we did not have sufficient disposable income. In June, we were offered a Making Home Affordable modification that is $100 less than what we were paying, and we were paying at 7.44%. So while they reduced our interest, they increased our principal by $12,000 to $15,000. And we can't do that. I'm still unemployed. We're in the mess because of a job loss.
So are you, in fact, facing foreclosure right now?
Yeah, we learned that they did. The loan servicer went ahead and filed a petition to foreclose, unbeknownst to us, even though we're still in the process of negotiating this loan.
Okay, you're in Massachusetts. Judge Schack, you're obviously in New York. It's different places, different rules. But what can they do? Anything at all? Or should the judge be looking for?
Well, in New York State, we have, depending on the situation, if someone has a subprime mortgage or a high-interest mortgage, as defined by law, and I'm not going to get into definitions because they're too complicated.
But
you meet those definitions, there has to be a mandatory conference in which a homeowner can come to court with the lender and try to work out a loan modification if it's possible. On the other hand, if someone gets papers and don't fall into those categories, I think it's incumbent upon them to come to court with or without a lawyer, and we have volunteer lawyers who do assist people who can't afford lawyers, and we try to work out loan modifications. Unfortunately, too many people don't avail themselves of this, but if they do, we try to save people's homes.
Professor Robert Shiller at Yale, what kinds of rules, regulations, and maybe even behavioral adaptations need to be put into place so that this doesn't happen ever again?
Well, for the future, I wrote in my book Subprime Solution, I think we have to have a fundamental change in our mortgage institutions. The workouts have to be pre-planned. We're coming into this all after the fact, too late. It should be automatic. And we have to figure this all out and cost it out, but automatic, when home prices fall or when people become unemployed or incomes fall, that there should be some adjustment in the mortgage.
Whose fault is it ultimately? Is it about the exuberance of the consumers, people just dying to buy those houses, or was it the greed of the guys on the other side?
Well, I think that it's a question of financial progress. We've seen innovations in our financial institutions at various times in history, notably in the last big housing crisis in 1933, the government under Roosevelt really created the fixed rate mortgage. Before that, they all were floating rate mortgages. Mm-hmm. Well, you had to renew the mortgage every 3 to 5 years. So we saw big progress then, and I'm hoping that in this crisis we're going to rethink our mortgage institutions so that there will be we won't have this problem again if we plan the workouts in advance.
And that's looking long into the future. Pam Zombeck in Salem, Massachusetts, you've got an immediate problem on your hands. What would you like the Obama administration to do? What do you want to happen?
I really want them to put these lenders and loan services under a microscope. They accepted TARP funds, and they're turning around and raising principal and doubling fees and playing all sorts of games. They're still extracting the maximum they can out of people that truly, we didn't buy a home beyond our means, and we worked our butts off to get refinanced, and we were refinanced. I just lost my job. That's why we're in this mess. I don't think there's any accountability, and I don't think there's a hard line to oversight, and here's what you guys are going to do.
Pamela Zombeck from Salem, Massachusetts, best of luck to you. Judge Arthur Schack, New York State Supreme Court, Professor Robert Shiller at Yale. Thanks to all of you. And tomorrow we continue the conversation about the year that marked the beginning of the financial meltdown with a look at the collapse of Lehman Brothers.